promise weddings, karaoke, and kung fu. What more could you want with the Vancouver Asian Canadian Theatre Company's upcoming production of Sex in Vancouver Undressed? Sex in Vancouver was first staged back in August 2003, the second installment bowed in January 2004, with the third hitting the boards this summer. Catch up with the first two installments presented back-to-back April 3rd, 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Roundhouse Community Theatre. Matinees are Sundays the 3rd and 10th, and evening performances on Monday the 11th and Tuesday the 12th. Tickets for both showings are $22 and are available by calling 778-885-1973. Joining me to talk about Sex in Vancouver Undressed is Joyce Lamb, the president of the Vancouver Asian Canadian Theatre. Please welcome to the commentary.ca Joyce Lamb. Good morning, Ms. Lamb.
Good morning, Joseph.
Talk to me about Sex in Vancouver. It's about four hip dynamic Asian, I'm reading now, four hip dynamic Asian women and their complicated screwy love lives.
Absolutely.
That's about it?
Well, actually, what happens in Sex in Vancouver, our main lead woman character, she is called Elizabeth, and she sets out going to the wedding of her ex-fiancé who married someone else shortly after a year of going off to university, and she finds out by getting dumped on the telephone. So she's going to this wedding for closure, and when the two women meet, sparks fly, and she brings a friend to go with her to the wedding who is kind of like her bodyguard in terms of making sure that she doesn't get hurt more by the ex-fiancé. And then the ex-fiancé's sister gets into the picture because everybody likes the high school sweetheart more so than the woman that he had married. And so the sparks fly between these four women, and it gets complicated because everybody has an issue with each other. So it's always pitted against everyone. So it's quite interesting to watch. And with the four women, they then also have four men in their lives that are also meeting at this wedding and are also interacting with all the other men and women as well. So it's quite confusing because there's 13 people in our cast, but we have a who's who in the program so that you should be able to follow how everyone knows everyone.
Now, these are, I assume, young people. These are, you know, senior citizens, right?
Things.
Yeah. The cast, I assume, is young as well, right?
Right.
And they're Asian, are they?
Yes. That's the amazing thing about this, because this is a romantic comedy, and it's cast 80% Asian. And what we found was that in the local theater scene in Vancouver, there's a lot of shows going on, but Asian actors aren't represented, so we decided to do our own productions and cast Asian actors in it. And this storyline has a bit of Asian content, and where that the cultural and traditional views of parents come in with the wedding and things like that, so that there is some significance to Asian culture, but you don't have to understand it completely if you're not Asian, because also the storylines of falling in love and falling out of love and finding closure is universal to all races.
Now, is this a drama, a comedy?
It's a romantic comedy.
I see. Who wrote the production?
It was written by a person in Seattle, an actress herself, who was also upset that in Seattle there wasn't any good roles for Asian women to portray. So four of them got together and wrote this and cast themselves in it. And it's a serial play, and they're actually at episode 13. And we're just in episode 3 coming up in August.
Now, do you find that people do go to episodic theater? I mean, it you would think that some people say, well, I missed the first one, so I don't think I should go to the third.
Well, each episode can stand on its own, and we do have, like, the who's who in the program and things like that. But people like episodic theater because these characters are easily identifiable, and they're very beautiful and sexy, and it's very fun. It's almost like TV because we also use multimedia components in our show, so there's photo slides, there's videos, there's dancing, there's singing, so it's quite lively in terms of theater, and also it targets the younger audience who's more prone to fast-paced action like as in television,
right,
and film.
Now, talk to me about the Vancouver Asian Canadian Theater Company, and you talked about doing a show like this because Asians in the local theater community were underrepresented. This show also deals with destroying some of these Asian stereotypes that people have.
That's right.
Talk to me about the theater company and how that came about and your role.
Well, the Vancouver Asian Canadian Theater was started way back in 2000 when we looked around and looked at what was playing in the theater industry in Vancouver. And all we saw were productions of Shirley Valentine and things that were never cast with Asian people in it. And so what we wanted to do was provide some opportunity for the Asian actors to perform, because a lot of the theater people were saying, well, you know, we're picking the best people from the auditions, and the Asian actors aren't quite cutting it because, first of all, they're not being cast, and so they don't get the experience, and then if they don't get the experience, they can't get cast, so it's a catch-22. And so what we wanted to do was provide some opportunity for these Asian actors so that they can pick up some experience and go back and do the auditions and hopefully win some of them. And we also looked around at the theater industry, and most of the pieces that were being produced were historical. Not to say that there's anything wrong with a historical piece, but younger Asian people don't connect with that, even though it's important. And what we were trying to do is for second generation people who've lost their connection with their language, still be connected to their culture by attending things that are more representative of them, and also not based on the traditional dancing and the traditional culture and the language. So we wanted to embrace that whole generation and a whole new audience back to theater to support and see themselves identified on stage.
But first generation Asians, Asian Canadians, have they found, I mean, do they react to this show?
Well, absolutely, because first generation is for people who have come here and when they were younger, right? Or if they're in their young adulthood now, making that transition to Canadian society, they're also coming to our show, and they're finding that that they see what they see around town. So it's just a reflection of who Asian people are in Vancouver. Because we do actually have an actress who plays one of the characters, and she has an accent.
Now,
one of the stereotypes we're also trying to remove in our Sex in Vancouver is that Asian men are not considered in the media as romantic leads, very sexy, or someone of interest for dating. And you can see that more obviously in film when you see famous Asian actors such as Chung Yung Fat and Meryl Savino be in a show, and he doesn't even get a kiss from the woman. And if it was any other actor, of course they would be kissing, but they're not. And things like that. And The King and I with Jodie Foster,
right,
there wasn't even a peck on the cheek. So things like that, they're not considered a romantic lead, and we wanted to break that stereotype. And the men in Sex in Vancouver are very, very sexy and good eye candy for the women.
Now, in terms of the show, is there interracial relationships?
Yes, there is, because there's a character named George, and he's trying to date Elizabeth, but Elizabeth has a lot of pressure by her parents to date Asian men, and they both get along really well, and so you see that they're developing interest for each other, and that cliffhanger is, will Elizabeth date George? Will George be successful, or will Elizabeth still try to win Kenneth back, her ex-fiancé? So there's a lot of cliffhangers, and so that's why in episodic theater, you have to keep coming back to find out the outcome.
Ah, very good. Now, you're staging the first two shows again.
Yes, that's right.
The third show will debut, I guess, in the summer, will it?
Yes, in August, from August 5th to August 20th, back at the Roundhouse.
So this is a good way for people to catch up.
That's right.
And now, it's termed Undressed. What do you mean by that?
Well, because we had put on the full production earlier, we wanted to do a more simple set. And so it's called Undressed because it is in a black box setting, and there are very few props. Everything is mimed, like glasses at a wedding and things like that. There are some props, but not necessarily all the props that we had used in our full production. And that is the only difference, because we have the full multimedia components. The actors actually make costume changes, and the photo slideshow is still there.
In terms of, you said 13 cast members, right?
Yes.
You said they were all eye candy and good to look at. Can they act?
I think they can act, because they're acting like everyday people, so
yeah.
that's not too much of a stretch, and they can, and some of them can really sing, because the episode 2 takes place in the karaoke bar, and I'm amazed that they can sing as well as they do, because some of them are not formally trained in singing, and they can belt out some pretty good songs. So it's a fun night, and our director has been really good in bringing these people to life, and knowing that a lot of them might not have a lot of experience, has spent a lot of time working with these actors, just because he knew that they're coming in a little raw. But we have a lot of returning actors, so they really know who they are and the characters that they play.
Now, are these actors generally, are they aspiring actors that they want to do things professionally, or?
Yes, most of them are aspiring actors. A lot of them are already in other community theater projects in the past, and most of them have done commercials, independent films, and some of them have even been on some of the bigger projects, such as Smallville. Someone was in The Last Samurai, and things like that. So they are trying to make it. It's tough competition for everybody in the film industry and stuff like that. So and they do go on other auditions. So and they are trying to make a full time job out of it.
Well, we'll try to catch the show when it opens. It opens April 3rd, right?
Absolutely.
Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Roundhouse.
That's the weekend you jump forward in the time.
Oh, there you go. So,
so we always set the clocks back, so you make it there on time.
Joyce, thanks so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank
and,
you, Joyce.
And it's, it sounds like an interesting show, and it sounds like it'll be good. So
it's a fun show, and it's really entertaining, and I think the best entertainment value for $20 in Vancouver.
That's very true. Sex in Vancouver Undressed has got Sunday matinee performances April 3rd and 10th, evening performances on Monday the 11th and Tuesday the 12th at the Roundhouse Community Theatre. Tickets are $22 and are available by calling 778-885-1973. And for more information, visit their website, www.vact.ca. Joyce Lamb, the producer of Sex in Vancouver Undressed and the director, the president of the Vancouver Asian Canadian Theatre Company, joins me here on the commentary.ca.